Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with State Representative Kavanaugh, who's on the other end of our line. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you. Medical marijuana at the forefront of the news again. There is legislation that's going to define this law and most more specifically who can distribute, who can grow, who can service this. Tell us about the bill, Representative Kavanaugh.
Well, there's actually four bills. We started with package in June of 2011 and worked for 10 months meeting with various groups and stakeholders and interested people from doctors, patients, law enforcement, judges, Free the Weed people, and Ken Horn is a Republican out of the Saginaw area. He and I sat down with the task force and narrowed the eight bills down to four and then just tried to clarify the language. To me, it's not necessarily setting up any new laws. It's more just clarifying what I believe the Act was trying to convey.
Why do you think the clarification wasn't there from the onset? A lot of smart people had the opportunity to review this. What happened?
Some things were vague, ambiguous. The same group that wrote our Medical Marijuana Act and laws around the country have, you know, learned from various mistakes. And in, you know, the newest states that are taking on medical marijuana, it's a little clearer. But I believe that courts and prosecutors were interpreting it outside the intent. I mean, there is an affirmative defense, Section 8 of the Act, which allows you that even if you have a little more than 2.5 ounces or you don't have a valid card right at that time, you may be arrested, but you should also be able to present that to the trier of fact. And I was hearing over and over that judges were barring the words medical marijuana in their courtroom. So I thought it was my job as a legislator to kind of say, nope, I think that's what the voters intended.
Do you think that it was anticipated as many people would get into this business as far as the growth of the product, as far as the distribution, and the caregivers, I guess, more specifically?
Well, I don't necessarily know how the general public thought so, but I can tell you that MARA, or the state board, that issues the cards were a good 6 months behind 10 months ago when we started listening and interviewing. And that created a real problem. People were getting their cards and, you know, weeks later they would expire. Then they'd have to wait around for another 6 months to get a new card. So we, the Judiciary Committee, kind of put some pressures on the department. Now I believe the wait is about 2 weeks, which makes a little more sense. Maybe they didn't believe the response would be over 100,000. I'm told there's close to 125,000 cards issued.
Well, there is the package of four bills, as you mentioned, but there are a lot of folks who are against the packages. The American Civil Liberties Union, Michigan chapter, one of those organizations, and say that they're going to fight this. How do you respond to that?
Well, the ACLU was in the room as we were writing these, and I can tell you my bill is defining a bona fide doctor-patient relationship. And why I thought that that was important is I have teenage daughters, and they all told me that they knew a dozen people that had cards. I don't know that teenagers, you know, at least that many of them, have lifetime debilitating diseases. So I thought that the doctor-patient relationship should be defined, for one, to give more credibility to the patients themselves. You know, it gives the Bill Schuettes of the world a stump speech if the whole system's running rampant, as he calls it, the Wild Wild West. So I thought the doctor-patient relationship should be defined, but more importantly, It defines an enclosed lock facility. It allows you to grow outdoors. That question was unanswered. And the fourth component of my bill is to solidify the affirmative defense. So I actually have language in there that the prosecutors were not thrilled about, but ACLU was happy, many marijuana groups were happy, because now their clients will have a day in court if they happen to get arrested.
So do you think that you've addressed all those concerns with these four bills?
I don't think that everybody or anybody is 100% happy. And that, to me, is the essence of compromise. I think everybody's a little disappointed, but, you know, the bills passed 105-4, at least 4851 did. And I'm not saying it's the perfect fix. I'm saying it's a pretty good compromise in the interest of both law enforcement and patients, doctors, and even caregivers. I mean, now there's parameters. So if they do have an enclosed lock facility, or if they're growing outdoors and it's covered on all sides, even by wire fence or mesh, they shouldn't be harassed by the police. So hopefully this will trim arrests.
You know, we've heard from some folks that think we're spending too much time on bills like this as opposed to trying to generate more revenue for the state, as we had some conversations this morning with guests about jobs. More specifically, we had Congressman Mike Rogers on the program, and I asked him what the answer was for filling the more than 70,000 high-tech jobs that are available in the state, yet there aren't workers to fill those positions with the qualifications, with the credentials, with the education. And I didn't receive a specific answer. And what's your take? What do we need to do to get folks back to working and to get them retrained and to get them filling these high-tech jobs, which would obviously create a lot of revenue for the state?
Well, I was en route, so I didn't hear Congressman Rogers. But I believe education is key, and also safe communities. I sit on tax policy committee, and just, you know, giving a corporate tax cut isn't going to drive companies to this state if families don't feel they're safe and they don't feel they can get an education for their kids. I mean, that sounds political, but I think that that is the basic problem. So we got to have safe neighborhoods and decent schools, or no one's going to want to locate here. To create jobs, I'm actually introducing a bill this week that disallow retirees from getting another paycheck from the same municipality. So let's say I was to retire. Now it seems commonplace that, you know, for the interim, 6 months, a year, maybe even 5 years, I'm going to get hired back in that position because they haven't trained and they haven't hired anybody to fill that position. I think that my bill might be the first jobs bill because it's going to force municipalities and government to train people to think ahead and say, well, this guy has already warned us he's retiring in 6 months. Maybe we should train somebody and fill that position. So I'm hoping that my colleagues see it the same, and I think it'll create a lot of jobs.
You know, when we talk about retraining workers, from what I understand, there are challenges with the funding for this re-education or retraining of workers, if you will. Some of them just don't have the money necessary to attain the training. And then there's a lot of apathy. There were a lot of folks who were looking for work, who may be skilled enough, who may be hard workers, but they kind of gave up. What can you do to address those needs?
Well, maybe I'm a little focused, but I think my bill would, to a certain degree. Again, I think municipalities are just, they're not thinking ahead. I come from Wayne County. I come from Redford Township, and I know that our finance director told us 3 years ago he is retiring in November of 2012, and yet there's no plans because they just figured they will hire him back on contract and train somebody after November. If we get rid of somebody making $100,000 and hire somebody with less experience but can grow in the job, you're not only paying a lower wage, but also somebody's paying into the pension system. So I'm hoping that that'll create a buzz. I can see people getting discouraged, and I think that the state is losing a lot of great talent. They're either taking themselves out of the marketplace, or they're moving. And yes, we have to stop that.
We're talking with State Representative Phil Cavanaugh on the Tony Connolly Morning Show, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. What's your take? Do we need a bridge from Detroit to Windsor? And do you think the governor will get that done within the next year?
I just know that I sit in the State House, and I've yet to see a proposal. I do believe we need a bridge, but I think studies show that that's about 20 years out, which means we should start planning for it now. And I don't necessarily know, you know, how the governor's going to accomplish that. I hope he's going to use the legislature as a vehicle, and I personally would love to review a proposal. But nothing's come before the House yet, so I can't speak on specifics.
Representative, there is talk that the governor can use other avenues to accomplish this. Do you know how he can do that?
I personally don't.
And before I let you go, definitely have to get your take on many unions are in a uproar about the cyber schools bills. Well, what do you think about that?
I voted against them. But I have some huge issues with it. But one, the argument is that parents are going to be involved 5 hours a day in their kids' schooling. So, if, you know, they're going to be helping out. There's somebody on the other end of the computer that's going to be helping out. In the real world, I just don't see that. Parents are busy. And if they have all that time, the kids are going to be homeschooled anyway. The problem I had was even cyber schools get full allocation for that student. So you don't have a football team, you don't have a field house, you don't have a brick-and-mortar school, and yet they still get the $7,000 allotment per student. I don't think that's a fair distribution of resources to a private corporation.
All right, we've been talking with State Representative Phil Cavanaugh. Sir, thanks so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Anytime, Tony.